It's July 10th, 2009. Hello and welcome to Media Shift 4-Minute Roundup, or 4MR, where I condense new media news for you in 4 minutes each week. My name is Mark Glazer. I'm executive editor of PBS Media Shift, covering the intersection of media and technology. Now, here's the news. The New York Times is once again considering charging for access to its website. But this time, paid print subscribers might have to cough up some money too. The Times sent out a survey to print subscribers asking if they would be willing to pay $2.50 a month for access to nytimes.com on top of their print subscription price. The cost for non-print subscribers being floated was $5 a month. The UK Telegraph reported that the Times would be making a decision on charging in the next month, and it was down to going with one of two systems, the metered pay system now used by the Financial Times, which charges people after they see a certain number of free stories, or the membership model that gives paying users access to more material. The Times has to think hard about how charging might affect its success in selling ads on its website, because erecting a paywall could hurt readership. Times spokeswoman Catherine Mathis told Pointer, quote, "People talk about how we've got to charge for content. We already do have a revenue stream for advertising, and the two are related. You start charging, and it can affect the other." End quote. Meanwhile, the Associated Press Wire Service is trying its hand at a more interactive approach to the upcoming Supreme Court confirmation hearings for Sonia Sotomayor starting on Monday. The AP launched a Twitter feed called AP Courtside and is asking readers to send in questions, tips, and suggestions for coverage. When the Senate hearings begin, the AP will have a live blog running on Yahoo News that will work in conjunction with the Twitter feed. The AP's Jim Kennedy told Nieman Journalism Lab that 6 people will manage the efforts, a first for the wire service. They hope to get readers more involved in coverage of the proceedings. Kennedy looks at this as an experiment that's part of a wider strategy for the AP. He said, quote, "We're not using Twitter to break news. We want to point to the blog or point to our stories. We may use the blog to write about things that won't make it into our other stories, but we're not using either platform to scoop ourselves." End quote. It will be interesting to see how the blog content will differ from normal AP wire coverage. Now it's time for Quotable. Jim Hopkins, a former USA Today reporter, has been running the Gannett blog ever since taking a buyout a couple years ago. The blog has been a great source of news about newspaper giant Gannett as it struggles for survival. But Hopkins decided to give up doing the blog and move on. This is what he told editor and publisher recently. Quote, "I did not expect to be blogging about Gannett for this long. I did not want to be spending the rest of my life writing about a shrinking company. It was meant to be a short-term project. It has to end sometime. I will leave the site up, but there will be no more new posts on it." End quote. Now for this week's poll at MediaShift. The question is, how much would you pay for access to the New York Times website? Our last poll question was, when did you first believe that Michael Jackson really died? 28% said when the LA Times blog confirmed it. 17% said when the AP confirmed it. 13% said when TMZ first reported it. And 12% said when cable news reported it. 17% gave another answer, including 3 mentioning when they heard it on the radio, 2 on the BBC, and at least 4 others who said they don't believe he's really dead. Be sure to keep up to date with all the news, polls, and events over at PBS MediaShift at pbs.org/mediashift and our sister blog, Idealab, at pbs.org/idealab. Thanks to PBS and the Knight Foundation for making this podcast possible. Until next time, remember, if you're a media consumer, media mixer, or media maker, shift happens.